Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine abyss, and reaching my threshold, staring at the tree till I'm blind.
Bam! Bam 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 bing 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 bing. I don't know what I've been told, but I have horror in my soul. I don't know what I've been told, but hey, science fiction's also cool too. I don't know what I've been told, but hey, there's a lot of splatter in the world and it just kinda splatters. And movies made with splattery type stuff is really cool and weird and nifty.
Hi, I am Zombie Zach. Have you heard me before? I've been on the radio now for 384 episodes. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something spectacular? It's so mind-blowingly, wow, 384. I wonder how many numbers of the letters 3 divide into that. I don't care, because it really doesn't matter. We are here, we are with you, and I've got things to talk about. I've got lots of things to talk about. I've got my D-clicker on. I was going to put the de-hummer on. I'll leave that one in the air. But it's the way things roll, right? Roll. So tonight's show is going to start off with pretty unusual cast of things. We went off the continent for the most part. We went for What the Fluff. Sorry, I went for What the Fluff because I like What the Fluff. And this entire episode's movie presentation discussions, as it were, is going to be about What the Fluff. And I'm going to start the first What the Fluff is actually not so What the Fluff. It's mostly just a really cool movie, but it's kind of on the overseas side. And it's interesting. Listen up.
The killer recreated a comic, exactly what happens in the comic The Incredible Hulk, number one.
What the hell's he got on?
Iron Man, Tales of Suspense 39.
Cosme!
Love the outfit, Inspector.
Who is this psychopath?
Your boss.
Say what?
Cosplay.
Totally normal.
But don't try pushing my buttons, because you might hit the wrong one.
So we're dealing with a geek.
We thought that for this case, it would be best to bring in some outside help.
I got the power!
The killer recreates superhero origin stories.
Permit me alone for the whole city. There is a superhero.
Navarro thinks he's a supervillain.
I have so much to teach you.
Looks like we got a suspect.
We're not allowed to see personal files.
Oops, I find filling out forms is boring. Takes the fun out of it.
There's no such thing as heroes!
Hero and the sidekick on their way to the villain's lair. You're aware that we're after a real killer, aren't you?
So, what happens is when you press too many buttons, things happen. So, I'm going to recap a bit of back there. This was the movie called Unknown Origins, which plays quite a bit on the idea of origins of comic book heroes. The entire storyline is revolving around this supervillain who's called himself Navarre, who is recreating origin stories, but with all death scenes. So we have the Hulk, who's like, big brainy guy, becomes Hulk, and then dead. Wait, that's not how the origin story went, but that's how the supervillain is working this. Hit the button, because I like the buttons. Well, that's like, hey, what a way to start episode number 384, right? Wowzers, wowzers, ming, 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 ming. Moving along. I like this movie. It was kind of corny, kind of geeky, and I'm definitely a comic book guy, so I totally love all of that sort of thing. There are some good, freaky kind of scenes. There's about five or six different origin stories that they mimic. The Hulk, Iron Man. Human Torch, not the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four, but the Human Torch from the original Invaders. Get your geek on and know that difference between those. A couple of others that show up as well. But for some of the funny things is that the Inspector is like that cold, cut, clean guy who's basically no-nonsense officer of the law.
I am the law.
Not that guy, but close enough. Is now teamed up with a comic book owner. Hey, who do I know like that? And his boss, the Chief of Homicide, is a lovely young lady who likes to cosplay. And swear a lot. I don't know what that's about. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I do know what that's about. But, fun movie. It's kind of predictable. It goes and builds in the way that it's going to go and build. It really does have some good quirky things. The amazing thing I liked about this movie, it just came out on the 28th on Netflix. I was like, I don't know what I want to watch right now. I want to watch something simple, blah, 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 something that doesn't require me thinking about a lot of stuff. It's like, okay, fine. Put this on. It's got the write-up that says, okay, boss is a cosplayer. Cop joins up with a comic book geek. Supervillains creating dead things. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that sounds fun. I'll watch that. Oh, this was so much better than I expected. I love having a movie with no expectations going into it and enjoying the jabibers out of it. So, definitely a worthwhile watching. My only big gripe about the whole movie was that the dubbing is a little dry. It is kind of hard to mimic a lot of emotion and everything else in this, but they have a pretty good thing. You can get it. You just overlook the whole, like, oh yeah, by the way, we have a dead body over here kind of dubbing way. You just go through it and watch the movie. It's funny as shit at sometimes, and then it's got some serious stuff. I don't want to say any very specific spoilers, but there are some people, I am Batman, spoilers that's like, well, you know, if you watch this movie, you're going to get a symbol that's going to be, I am Batman. Batman's not actually in the movie, by the way. But it is fun, and it is enjoyable, and I recommend it highly. Now, that was probably the most non-what-the-fluff movie that I watched this weekend. I think pretty much all of the movies I chose were pretty kind of what the fluff. Almost every single one of them except one is from another country other than one in North America. I don't even know if I'll get to the one that was done in North America because, you know, got to pace herself here, right? So next one up is, unfortunately, not in English.
Til en gård her oppe hvor det har vært noe på lokalnyhetene om hendelser.
Folk vil alltid prøve å finne naturlige forklaringer på sånne ting. Men hvis man oppsøker åsted og leter etter spor, er det vanskelig å finne ut om det troll som har vært på ferde.
Hvorfor skal ikke folk få vite hva som foregår her?
Skru av det kameraet. Nå.
Hva tror du Michael Moore ga seg etter første forsøk? Tror du det?
Det ingen her som tror på Gud eller Jesus.
Nei, det ingen altså.
Fordi det lukter kristemannsbro.
Har det sikkert litt tid da, før han kommer med det der trollet? Kanskje han filmer oss?
Det sitter jo sikkert en lærer hos et sted.
Hovedgrupper er merkt troll og skogsråd.
Se her, Thomas.
Æsj. Raglefant, tusselad, vintusse.
Troll! For faen! Kom du vekk!
Du, jeg skal faen ikke inn der, altså.
Muslim, sant?
Jeg muslim, ja.
Muslim? Det greit.
Det vet jeg ikke.
All right. If you guessed that movie from that dialogue track, that would be very impressive. I would be like super impressed. Unless, of course, you come from the country from which it's made, which happens in this particular case be Norway. Now, I have the Blu-ray, so I enjoy this movie. I love this movie. It's been a little while since I watched it, specifically about 7 or 8 years. The wonderful thing is it's got some excellent dubbing on it and subtitles if you like to read your movies instead of actually listen to them and then watch all the pretty stuff. So one of the amazing things that I have found over many years is that American big budget horror movies tend to get really kind of they don't tend to be as good as they can be. And that's my polite way of saying that I like a lot of foreign horror movies. And yes, WD just got it. Guessed it in the chat room. No, it wasn't Swedish. It was Norwegian. That was Troll Hunter. Not to be confused with Troll Hunters, the animated cartoony type thing. It is Troll Hunter, a lovely movie in which you have these giant trolls everywhere else around in there, just squash and squamp and gonna pomp and romp and gnawing on things. Fee-fi-f- no, they don't do the fee-fi-fo thing. But it's an amazing movie if you want to watch a great found footage type film. There are few and far between found footage films, and this is a very specific nitpick for me. Blair Witch, I was not a really big fan of the first one. I loved the second one, did not like the first one. Paranormal Activity, not a huge fan. They have their own thing. Everybody, people who like them, great. I'm glad you like those kind of movies. That's why there's a variety of movies out there. There is so many different ways to look at things, have things, and enjoy things. This movie takes the concept of how a found footage movie would work. It begins with a message of saying, this footage was found a couple years ago. We didn't know if it was really true or not, but after watching this and having many different authenticators authenticated, we have decided it's true. And so the found footage thing is basically these three kids, young people, they're doing their some kind of university or whatever level journalist thing, trying to track down this guy who's supposedly illegally hunting bears. Turns out he's not actually hunting bears. He's part of a crew of people who are out there trying to protect society from trolls. And trolls are real, and they're huge, and they're monstrous, and they're icky, and they don't like sunlight, but they do like to make a mess. Enter, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce any of the names in this movie, because quite frankly, okay, I can pronounce the first one. Otto Jespersen. He plays the character named Hans. Glenn Erland Tosterud. He plays Thomas. Joanna Mork. I probably mispronounced her last name. She plays Joanna. Now those are the four... Okay, and Thomas Alf Larsen Kale. Those are the four main characters. The hunter guy, that one that's supposedly the bear trapper, and then the other three young kids who are doing the hunting of the story. The video footage of these trolls in this movie is fantastic. It is like, if you had the budget that Hollywood has for most of their big monster movies and did this stuff over there, dude, these guys and the animators who did these trolls were bloody brilliant. So, that was my first WTF movie. It's not really all that WTF, it's just really big monsters. It's cool, but it's definitely foreign. So, now we're going to move to a definite WTF movie. And again, unfortunately, not in English.
Geshurts. Shepherd's girl. Geshurts. Voodoo. Geshurts. Wife. Geshurts. What?
Jigokue oides.
Washing out gift, rural village squirt. Washing out beer, zoot cover. Toka guapas, Ushihiro Mishimura. Geisha, my son. Geisha, dance. Geisha, army. Geisha Chainsaw. Geisha Harlequin. Geisha Katana. Geisha Dwarf.
samurai world. Yes, yes, yes. Fry the shrimp. There we go. She's a robot.
This particular movie falls into the definite category of what the fluff? No, no, what the actual fluff? Seriously? So you have ass blades, you have ass shuriken, you have boob acid milk, you have people with chainsaws out of their face, you have there's one scene where the giant robot is attacking a building and the building bleeds. This movie is messed up, and I love it. It's called Robo Geisha, which at the beginning, as it said, Geisha is Japanese girl. I really, 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 really tried hard to find an English version of this, because this is a really interesting movie that's kind of, that really doesn't follow a very strong narrative. It goes that way, and then comes this way, and then it goes that way, and then we have this. It's as if they tried to find every outlandish thing that they could possibly throw and throw it in the movie and try and say, hey, this is cool, let's work it all in together. So it is not a movie to take or watch lightly. It is a movie to basically have fun with. If you are not into the Japanese splatter kind of movies, you may not enjoy it as much as, say, I will, because I love splatter movies. Obviously, that's why I talk about it a lot. So in this particular movie, like I said, there are some unusual implements of destruction that is used throughout the entire movie. I cannot really express too much more than that, as it is a strange movie. And at one point, the heroine, can I pronounce her name? Let's see if I can pronounce her name. Yoshi, yes, I can pronounce her name. And her sister, Kiku? Kiku. Yes. And I'm going to not say much more than that. At one point, she turns into a tank. I'm sorry, not actually fully in a tank, just her legs. Her legs come transform into a tank, and she's motoring along the highway and up the side of the building, and then over at the evil giant robot thing that's trying to destroy the world. Wait, did I forget to mention that part? Oh, well, there it is. So, next one. Another Japanese-style splatter movie, Off the Hook. Kind of WTF, and
what?
犯人は田中浩二 29 歳 強盗並びに監禁の前科 通りすがりの女性を拉致監禁 当該廃ビルに立てこもり中
私たちの暮らしを豊かにします。東京経済株式会社。エンジニアだ。エンジニア。やつら人類の悪くていない。全員協力する。先輩。
です。革命の布石なんだ。
我々が守ります。東京警察株式会社。
So, today's show is brought to me by Japanese, because they make some wonderfully what-the-fluff movies. This particular one was called Tokyo Gore Police, and I would try pronouncing it in the Japanese because it tells me the Japanese version of the name there, but I'm not going to do that. Probably if I tried it a few times, I would probably be able to get it, but I'm going to be moving along. So, there is kind of a bit of a theme here in a lot of the movies that I watch from these Japanese splatter movies. They tend to be from similar directors, and a bunch of the same people tend to work in all the different movies. So, the last one, Robo Geisha, was directed by... what was his name? Noboru Iguchi. And he's done a few other movies that I really enjoyed as well, called Meatball Machine. What was the other one? There's a whole bunch of them. They've done crap tons of these movies. The next movie that I'm going to talk about is going to be one, Machine Girl. There seems to be a thing about machines that this guy seems to like, so I kind of get that. You know, cybernetics, and not quite cybernetics, but really messed up steampunky type weird stuff. I actually go through the list of all those movies here, but there's too many of them, and some of them are weird. Wait, weirder than what I'm watching? Haha. So, and then Tokyo Gore Police is directed by Yoshiro Nishimura. And it is about our heroine, Ruka, who, young girl on the force, very dedicated officer, really dedicated trying to get all the bad guys off the street. Bad guys end up being on the street who are basically called engineers right now. And what happens is they get into the DNA level of a person. And they change into some weird kind of aspects. It's like a super mutating type drug that just really makes a mess of a person. So the first person that shows up that's an engineer that you find in the movie has a chainsaw. And then somebody chops off his arm and whatever. And then all of a sudden he's got a mutations like where he's got an organic chainsaw, which is part of his arm. And he shoots it and it comes back and it cuts people. And it's like, oh, this is splattery. So the Japanese have some really interesting ideas about gore. It's not so much that the fleshy gooey bits fly all over the place. It's more that the blood splatters all the place. So at one point, and actually I think pretty much all three of these movies, a person slices somebody in half, swoosh, body parts separate. And it's like, wow, that's kind of gross and gooey. And then jet sprays of blood kept blowing out. I literally have about another 100 different movies that fall into these categories that I could watch or have watched or will watch again in the future. And it's just so much fun. It's an entire aspect of, I don't know what it is about it, but they make me giggle. Not that I actually want to enjoy actually committing any of that kind of violence, because that's not what horror is really about. Horror is about enjoying the absurdity of some of this stuff, and it just makes me laugh. And the people who make these movies, I think, are pretty much of the same vein. Just enjoy doing them and making insanely weird, fun movies. So, next one. Do I have anything else to say about this one? Oh, yeah, I want to say one thing about Robo Geisha. I don't know if you noticed whatever, but in the trailer, the music thing, so much keeps reminding me of 007 movies. I wonder if it was intentional. I'm thinking there's probably some kind of degree of intentionality on there. But it's enjoyable. So let's go to the next one. Ah.
We'll be right back.
See? Sneaky buttons. You gotta be right there and press them at the right time. So that one is a movie called Mutant Girl Squad, which should right off the bat, and from the picture on the video, the cover, be a little on the... This looks weird. It's awesome. It's so awesome. It is splattery like you wouldn't believe, much like the other ones. This one is also directed by the same gentleman who did Robo Geisha. Where's his name? Noboru Iguchi. He also created the story and wrote the characters. Fun. So this particular movie is a little bit of a cross of the X-Men origins type story, where all of a sudden we find that some people are different. And this one fellow is, actually he's an odd fellow, is trying to get rid of all of the humans because they have been putting down their... And when I have to pause to actually type and make a comment, you know, I gotta. So yes, they are trying to kill all of humanity because humanity's been trying to kill them all, which is kind of a tit for tat kind of thing. Yeah, understandable. So the main girl, Asami, no, that's not her. Kisaragi. Rin is actually the main character of the movie. Yes. Now, this, I just like the name of this one character who is called Exploding Head Soldier. And then, of course, the other girl, Mutant Girl, Breast Swords. There is so much so wrong with this movie and the characters in this movie. It's exceptional. So, yes, the one girl has an ass chainsaw. The other girl has ninja swords that jump out of her boobs. The one girl, her face turns red. It's like, what? But they're all training to be army guys to fight in this big battle. And the bad guy, where's his name? Kisaragi. He's the leader of the team that wants to basically try and tell everybody, destroy the world so that I can bring back my god of weirdness and everything else. His special thing is that he has a sword that, like, it's a bone sword that comes out of his belly. And it's just weird because it looks more like a penis than it does anything else. And it's like, it's so weird. Now, as you may or may not know, Japanese movies are exceptional in blending gore and sexuality. And it is a weird, weird combination when you look at it through the lens of Western society. But it's so much fun. I just giggle every single time. I just can't help it. It's just the way it is. So... Now, for the final What the Fluff movie, I'm going to play this one for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? I hope you're ready, because this one is exceptionally WTF.
4th has sent real life video games to attack us.
Pac-Man's a bad guy?
Incoming!
Donkey Kong.
It's just a barrel. How bad can it hurt?
The only way to take down Pac-Man is with ghosts.
You want ghosts?
These are your ghosts.
Oh, yeah!
We're the only ones who can do this!
I'm kidding. We are all gonna die. I'm just... sorry.
Thank you.
May I introduce to you Professor Iwatani, the creator of Pac-Man.
Pac-Man is not bad, you'll see.
Professor Iwatani, what are you doing?
I will talk to him. He's my son.
Hello, my sweet little boy. Look how big you've grown.
It's so sweet. He's so sweet.
I know. You're a good boy.
Somebody annihilate this stupid thing!
So, that was probably the most what the fluff movie I watched this weekend. That was Pixels, with Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Michelle Monaghan, and Peter Dinklage. And Peter Dinklage. I said that already, right? I did. I'm pretty sure of it. That movie was abnormally and unusually bad, but it's fun. It's one of those guilty little pleasure type things. And it's one of those movies is like, this is such a goofy movie. I mean, why am I even bothering to care about the story or the characters, the dialogue? And I was like, oh, look, Centipede. Oh, look, Pac-Man. Now, by the way, in that little excerpt there where Professor Iwatani was, oh, my God, he hit my head. He said a much worser word. They edited that trailer so that you would not hear bad cuss words. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, ding, ding, dong, dong, et cetera, all that stuff. Now, this movie was unbelievably hilarious to me, but mostly because the context of having Adam Sandler, and beside the point of having Kevin James as being the president of the United States, well, I guess you could compare it to the current president, and maybe it's possible, right? But the Adam Sandler as his advisor for, hey, aliens have sent space video games back to kill us. Amusing. And that's about all there is to say about it. And we go on to something else. So, that being all that, we are all going into intermezzo mode. And, no, actually, yeah. Well, WD in the chat room mentioned Chadwick Boswell's passing earlier last week now, I think it was. And I believe I said something about it last week, so I'm just going to say something again about it this week. It was a very sad thing to hear that he passed away because he played an exceptional character in Black Panther, and I understand he's done exceptionally well in the other movies that he played. I unfortunately have not watched any of those. Black Panther is probably the only movie I've actually been exposed to with his acting in, and to have done that movie and still have been going through all of the cancer that I ended up going through. Oh, okay. Evie mentioned it. I can't keep track of things in my head. My head is broken, you know, as somebody in the chat room has mentioned already. Cancer does suck. That is correct. And it is an unfortunate occurrence in which good people pass. And it's really sad. And there's not much we can do about it except to continue expanding our wealth of knowledge and learning and finding ways to kick that crap to the curb, as it were. You notice I haven't used one actual real curse word this entire episode. I'm amazed at myself this time. But yes, Chadwick is very sad. That whole passing of the gentleman, very sad. I have found out about it while I was gaming with friends on Saturday night, about a half an hour after it started trending online, and it was like, really? What? Had to check the various news sources to make sure that it wasn't one of these spoofy kind of things. It's like, no, that was like every single major carrier is now saying, yep, it's happened, and it's like, wow, that really sucks. So we had to take a moment in our gaming and just sort of break down for a minute and chill and talk about how that really sucked. But our hopes and prayers and thoughts and everything goes to the family and friends that he was were much closer to him. I never met him. I never had an occasion or an opportunity to. And the people who have been touched by his life in real life, it is obviously a wonderful thing. I have not heard one single bad thing from anything that he's ever been involved with. And that is a hell of a thing to say about a person. So if you hadn't heard that news, sorry to tell you, but it did. And I go on to the intermezzo, which may be appropriate or inappropriate, but we'll see. was a song called Bloody Palms by Fantagram. Why did I pick that song for today's intermezzo? I like the title, Bloody Palms. It had nothing to do with anything in Red River. It's like, yes, that song sounds cool. Oh, it sounds freaky weird. I like it. Do it. That's the song. So, been through a couple of things there. And yes, so now it is time for squirrels. I think it's time for squirrels. Do you think it's time for squirrels? I think it's probably time for squirrels.
By the pricking of my tin, something wicked this way comes in. What is it that it could possibly be? I see multiple variables occurring. I see a timeline that is diverging. I see things that are coming and approaching and taking a direction that does not make sense. Illogical. Illogical. Does not compute. Why do these radical individual creatures, organic creatures, why do they persist in pursuing these obstinate courses of action? They are continuing to destabilize the universe. This particular world is on the edge of a collapse. Predictable situations are in effect. We must terminate them. Terminate. I believe this is the proper and appropriate response to the approaching creatures. I am not sure what these creatures are inclined to do, but I am inclined to believe they have ne'er-do-well and other words that come like that, meaning that does not compute. Does not compute. Hey, guy! How's it going? You look very shiny. Yes, this unit is indeed very shiny. I am, as the others individually, universally, collectively, they call me Robot Rick. Wow, that's cool. Robot? Oh my god, a robot? Like an artificial intelligence in a box that walks around and does stuff? Yes, something to that effect. I believe you would be inclined to call it that, yes.
Oh, wow. I don't know, but my watch doesn't say anything about you.
Well, that is interesting. You have a watch. You are a very tiny creature with a watch.
Yeah, it's a very special watch. It tells me things like time and the future and possibilities, and it says right now zero. I always thought kind of zero meant we were going to be going back to our world and like popping out of this one, because your world is weird.
Interesting. That still does not compute either, but our world is not weird. Our world is very specific. It has a category of collective individual capacities that go from this direction to that direction. Where are you trying to get to?
Well, I'm supposed to find a couple of guides that lead me to some kind of, some kind of existential answer to things. I don't know beyond that. Just the guy at the Crystal Castle or whatever it was, Manwolf, kind of told me, I'm supposed to go and look for these people and then kind of, get some answers to questions. I don't know.
Well, that actually does compute, because the best way to find wisdom is to inquire with others and therefore share, and by sharing, increasing the dynamic capacity of wisdom to compute into better and more stable forms of elective, interactive, educational meanings and manners. I guess that kind of tracks. I'll use some of that lingo of yours there. It tracks. It kind of like goes in a pattern. Yes, indeed, a pattern. That pattern of intelligent discourse. Is this what I mean you wish to engage in at this particular moment? Sure, why not? I mean, the rest of our group is kind of a little ways off on there. The llamas are... What did you say about the llamas? The llamas are coming. They're behind us a little bit of a way. I think we're probably probably about a good day or two away from them now, but... We kind of drew them into the, I don't know, what you call that, chasm, the big canyon there thing, whatever, and they just learned, like creatures of, like, no intelligence whatsoever. They just jumped on over there trying to get to us. Oh, my goodness. That is, I guess, acceptable. The particular parameter you are describing is one element of the prophecy.
Oh, no, shit. He knows about the prophecy, too. You know what? We're supposed to be in that?
Let me check. I will take one moment. One moment. One moment, please. Hold. One moment, please. Hold. One moment, please. Interesting. That is very fascinating. That is unusual. Categorically Incorrect. Error. 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 Interesting. Reboot. Reboot. Rebooting now. Ha! There you are. You are a part of the paradigm. You are part of the 16th quadrant categoristic paradigm.
What the hell does that mean? Does that mean we're like 16 years old? We're in the 16th quadrangle?
Close. Very close to the 16th quadrangle issue. It is not necessarily a quadrangle. That would mean an element of surprise, which to this point does not mean that you guys are surprised. I am surprised. I am actually interested now. Fascinating. Interesting. Continuing to compute parameters. Hey, Micro, I don't know about robots, man. They're just like, what the hell? I didn't even think robots could possibly be in this world. It's like, oh, magic and shit, right? Well, you know, I don't know.
Well, I guess it's possible. I mean, it is not quite like our universe. It's actually not even our world. It's probably a whole nother universe. And as I'm reading the watch, it says these things. It's kind of giving me some pointers here. Guidelines, as it were. Things that are talking about, yeah, it says, no, it actually doesn't say much of anything, really. It just says we should find some other answers. And I think he has answers, but I don't know what kind of answers he might have. Robot?
Yes, affirmative. That is me. I am the robot. What was your designation?
I'm Micro. The big guy here that I'm with here is Mega. We're just trying to find our way in this wacky world. Do you have any ideas or suggestions as to what we should do?
Yes, I have a very clear and very specific suggestion for you. In the first thing, according to the 16th quadrangle, avoid the llamas.
Ha! We knew that one already. That was, yeah, that's actually silly. Why would you say that?
Well, it is, you asked, and I answered. It is simple math. You ask a question, I provide an answer, and that answer is what I have given unto you.
Yeah, I guess if you want to be a bit of a prick about it, you could probably say that that was correct. But, I was looking for a little bit more, bigger ideas, sort of things like how we could actually survive this whole coming prophecy, coming to a prophetic end, and like all the people that it says that's going to die.
Interesting. Well, let me compute for a few seconds there. Processing. Processing. Query complete. Well, complete as it can possibly be at this particular moment in time with these elements and parameters that have been provided. You have a 16% chance of success or survival.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Micro on that. What? It is very unusual for you people to be able to continue in a successful manner. I can see from the parameters that have been presented that there is a large, difficult decision coming up in approximately one day at a designated destination, currently buzzword click that way. Oh crap, that's actually the direction we're going right now. The rest of the team is over there. We probably have to meet them in about an hour or two. Wait a second, are you saying that one of us is going to die? I am not saying anything of the sort or that nature. That is particular information that is not accessible to me at this moment. I do not have the full book of the prophecy. Do you have any parts of the book? I have no parts of the book. I have recorded information with statistical probabilities of whatever indications have been occurred or summarized in the various designations of previous incarnations of prophets. Are you, perchance? No, you are not, perchance, the prophets. You are, interesting. You are the levers. Lever one, lever two.
What the hell do you mean levers? Isn't that like a sort of piece of wood you put underneath a big log or sticker or whatever and make it move something?
Correct in your metaphor. Not exact, but correct enough to be close enough as a designation as to why you are designate leavers. There are 5 others to your party to accommodate the final computation of this particular line of inquiry. Interesting. Yes, that line is increasing. Wait, decreasing, increasing, decreasing. Very erratic, highly unusual, moderately unstable. Do you have a chicken in your party?
No, but, well, he was for a couple of minutes, he was a duck.
Oh, chicken, duck, fowl, bird, flying creature. Ah, yes, this particular line of inquiry is leading towards the giant pigeon, is it not? Yeah, how'd you know? Well, the prophecy has 16 different parameters that lead to a greater subset of individual choices. Each of those choices start with a particular concept. That concept is in the execution of how it goes through to the next level. In that next level, there are another number of assorted categories that must be fulfilled. And when those categories are fulfilled, there is a movement towards the next level. There are 16 levels.
What? That sounds like a whole lot of work, man. Like, are we going to have to keep working our asses off just to get over there and just so we can get home?
Affirmative. That appears to be correct.
Oh, shit. I didn't really want an affirmative on that. I was kind of hoping for some kind of hopey fuzzy feely type thing that kind of made it said, hey, no, you're going to be fine.
I am sorry. I am a robot. I do not have the capacity to feel or provide fuzzy, feely, emoty type responses. I have just logic. Answers, questions. Not necessarily the same direction of those flows.
Okay, now you're wacky. And, okay. So, what's going to happen when the llamas get to this point to you?
Absolutely nothing. They are completely uninterested in me. I am a robot. This is my robot garden.
Well, hold on. If you don't have the fuzzy feely things, why are you growing a garden? And hold on. You're a robot. You don't eat things, right?
It is correct. I do not consume or ingest or otherwise imbibe any kind of vegetable matter, animal matter, or distillates thereof. Oil, on the other hand, I do have a need for.
Oh, wait, what? Oil? What kind of oil?
Well, in this particular instance, the oil produced by canola, corn, and other vegetable matters produces a very solid viscous mix that is very good for my gears, and produces a wonderful sense of mobility.
Oh, okay, that's cool. That's good. So you're growing the vegetables to make sure your squeaky parts stay less squeaky and more mobile-y?
Yes, in very simple and basic terms, that would be correct.
Oh, wow. That's kind of cool, I guess. I never really thought of a robot trying to grow foodie type stuff to like be more robot like. That's. I'm gonna look at the watch for a second. Yeah, okay, it says pretty much that's it. You don't really have anything else.
Well, there was a previous iteration of my circuitry created by a less favorable provider that said the curse of blood of organic individuals would be much more studious and stable a production to provide for those necessary tasks of greasing my gears.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what?
What? What?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to echo that quite a bit. Both Micro and Mega, me, are going to say, what do you mean, the blood of others? Well, that was a term of endearment, but in the way that it was percepted and increased into my computational parameters, that was a very literal execution of that command line. Let me step back a second. And I mean, I'm going to step back a second as well, physically. Okay, that is acceptable. So what you're saying is you used to reap people blood to grease your gears?
Yes,
indeed. That is correct. I was doing that very capacitively and in a way that was neat and tidy and left no fuss, no muss. Wait, how did you do that? I built a machine, and the machine basically, I took an animal creature of some sort and threw it in, and it chopped it up into bitty pieces and cut up the place and bled out all of the organic waste material, which was mostly the blood and the brainy bits. The brainy bits. Yes, the brainy bits and the blood of the organic creatures that were thrown into the dicer.
Wait, what? You called it a dicer?
Well, it seemed apt at the moment. I do not know how well it was perceived, but I am told by the many various neighborly organic people that it was a very considerately very scary device, and I figured the word slicer or dicer or other words to that effect was very apt.
Yeah, I guess I could see where you could go with that. That kind of sounds creepy as shit, as well as being very, very, very... I don't really want to be here anymore, Mega. Like, can we keep going now? I think we should get going. I mean, the rest of the... Like, Frank... No, not Frank. George and Bubba and Doc and even that dangerous stranger, him, Dan, they're probably worried sick about where we are.
Oh, you're right. They probably are concerned. I mean, we've been gone for a long time after talking to Frank the Fox. Oh, pardon me. Let me inquire as to something. You say you spoke with Frank the Fox? Yeah, that's how he called himself. He was Frank. He was on his way to see the witch we just passed, which gave Micro there a little, I don't know, some kind of little flower thing or whatever. Oh, that is very interesting. That puts you into the 15th quadrangle as opposed to the 16th quadrangle, increasing your odds of survival. That is very interesting. I am curious. May I ask a question in regards to your particular choices at the moment? Sure. What can we get out of this? Well, I might be able to give you a feather. Wait, what? A feather. The feather of the giant pigeon. It is an important thing because it is green. It is from the giant pigeon from when he was in his green phase. I am under the impression that the little one, aka Lever 1, was supposed to get the flower. Lever 2 was to get the feather. This is my understanding of the articles of the prophecy. And therefore, this would be enabling those articles of that prophecy. Sure. Okay. Great. No problem. Go ahead. Give me a feather. We'll see how that goes. I'm sure it'll fit right in with the whatever. Here is the feather. Have you are ready for it? Do you have that on a hook? Yes, indeed. It is on a hook. For better to be able to stay on your person at all times. You will need it. Because when you do encounter the pigeon will probably not take to you very kindly in the general and normal sense of the word. However, with a feather from his back, you might be able to escape notice of his general misdemeanor and mayhem and general all of that stuff that makes for destruction and damage. Ooh, wow, I think, yeah, I do want that. That would be awesome. Thank you very much. Here you go. Very well. Lever 2, I hope and enjoy and promise and predict you will be able to overcome the obstacles that are presented to you. Sure, okay. I'm on board with that idea as well.
Yeah, me too. I know we can. We can do it, right? We can do it. We can get past it. It's like all of that stuff, right?
You now have a 18.35% probability of success and survival of these two. The others? I am unless sure, as I am not able to compute their capacity to survive the mayhem approaching. Wait, what? Mayhem approaching? Indeed, mayhem is approaching. It has got, as you said, almost a day, but it is actually 2 days as they are regrouping with another herd.
What do you mean, another herd?
There is another herd after the llamas.
Nobody said nothing about another herd.
I am saying something about another herd at this moment.
Yeah, but that's not fair, man. How are we supposed to overcome all of these things? There's like so many of them. We're all gonna die, aren't we?
That is not necessarily correct. The odds for death and destruction and possibly even dismemberment.
Wait, I just said nothing about dismemberment. Don't put my words in my mouth.
I am not putting words in your mouth. They are coming out of my speaker box. Ha, 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 ha. Therefore, you will have a possibility that at least 1 to 15 members of your party.
Well, wait, there's only like 7 of us.
There are going to be however many of you at that time when you get to that point. There might be an entire crew of other people with you. Therefore, as I was beginning to say, 1 to 17 possible casualties, fatalities, not necessarily full-on complete deaths. There might be just general mayhem and some damage. Not necessarily complete, but there will be some. Oh, this is very interesting. I think you probably should get along now, as I think Frank the Fox has achieved his goal of silencing the witch.
What? Silencing the witch? Why, she was nice to me.
Yes, and that is part of the problem for his particular leg in the prophecy. He does not want you all to succeed. He wants some of you to succeed, but the rest to fail. Oh, and to fail most dramatically. Not in a very good way.
Shit, I think we should run, Mega. Can we just start running now? Yeah, I guess that would be good.
Robot, it was nice to know you. Thanks for the feather. You are welcome. My name is Robot Rick. Please remember to sign out on the guest book on your way out. Thank you. Very well. Have yourselves a nice day, and please come again.
And that was the squirrel, and the other squirrel, and Robot Rick, and Frank the Fox, who was kind of in there for a few minutes, but that was like the last episode of the squirrel. So, I hope you enjoyed today's episode of What the Fluff movie edition, and just wanted to make sure y'all come back again next time, and every Wednesday, 9 p.m. I have something that will be being announced tomorrow on the Facebook, and I'll probably announce it again in the show, just sort of like a teaser trailer kind of thing. And I'm not going to say any much more on it. Not a thing. Nope. Zip. Not a thing. So everybody come again, and every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, at this same bat channel, same bat web link, because it's not a channel anymore, right? It's a web link. Come back, check us out on the Facebook, check us out on the Instagram, check us out on the Twitter, and have yourselves an amazing after rotten good time.